It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Mark.
And the big news of the day, of course, is that PayPal is jumping into Bitcoin. Presumably, this is the cause of the monumental Bitcoin price surge we've been seeing, but I have a hard time saying that this is actually because PayPal has, you know, shown friendliness to Bitcoin, because Bitcoin has been going, it's 12% in the last 7 days.
Yeah, I've never actually wished that there was somebody in charge of Bitcoin until this moment, so that we could tell PayPal to shove it.
I would agree. PayPal banned me for life, of course, last year.
For life?
For life.
That's pretty impressive.
They made it clear it was a ban for life. And it was entirely because I was selling Bitcoin. And they didn't like that at all. So it's okay for them, but not for me. And of course, the reason they're getting into it is not because of any ideological reason. They haven't been persuaded about the advantages of Bitcoin, other than the fact that Square made so much money off of selling Bitcoin that it eclipsed the money they made off of everything else that Square does. So Square proved that Bitcoin is extremely profitable. Now PayPal's like, hey, you know what? We need in on this too. Of course, these rumors have been circulating about PayPal and Bitcoin for several months now, but they have actually finally come out and admitted, according to CNN, that PayPal is launching its own cryptocurrency service, allowing people to buy, hold, and sell digital currency on its site and applications. This is bad for business for me. This is bad for my business.
What's your business?
Selling Bitcoin.
Okay.
Because they're a competitor that everyone already uses.
And trusts. Yeah.
Well, not everyone. They banned me.
But they're easy to use.
They are easy to use. But so is Cash App, you know? But a lot of people don't.
I don't know anything about Cash App.
Okay. It's pretty much just like PayPal.
Okay.
And Venmo. It's a way of
digital. See, I haven't been banned for life from PayPal. So I haven't had the need to use whatever Cash App and Venmo are.
A lot of them use all of them. Cash App is superior to PayPal in that PayPal allows you to send freely for friends and family.
Yes.
Cash App, it's always free.
Okay.
I don't know how Cash App is actually making money by doing this, other than, you know, instant cash.
It's the internet. They just want users.
Yeah, but what advantage does that bring them?
I don't know.
But people generally aren't buying Bitcoin through Cash App. Well, I guess people are, enough for Square to, you know, have made it their most profitable business venture. But it was always weird to me, back before Cash App banned me for life, by the way, it was always interesting that people would send me money on Cash App to buy Bitcoin when they could just buy it directly from Cash App. So maybe this isn't necessarily the end for people out there selling Bitcoin just because they can get it from PayPal. Maybe they'll still send you the money and you send them the Bitcoin. I don't know why people do it, other than not wanting to jump through Cash App and PayPal's KYC, know your customer hoops, but people do it. So the online payments company declared that adding crypto was a significant milestone on the path to mainstream adoption of cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin. Bitcoin, by the way, needs to get its mess together.
It really can't, because it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't have a mind.
No, but it does have miners. And they're the ones, you know, who are generally deciding what Bitcoin is going to be. And what they have decided is going to be is an unusable piece of crap. I finally picked up my Ford from the mechanic today. And of course, this mechanic takes Bitcoin. And because of the wallet that I was using, I had to use some Bitcoin and some Bitcoin Cash. I sent him the Bitcoin Cash, and it was like a fraction of a penny as the fee.
Yeah, that's how Bitcoin Cash works.
Yeah. Yep.
It is a peer-to-peer open source currency.
Yes. I then paid the remainder of the balance using BTC, Bitcoin. And the remainder of the balance was like $350. It was an $8 fee to send that Bitcoin.
That's because
more than 2%.
Bitcoin, BTC, is a peer-to-peer open source store of value. So they don't, it doesn't seem to be a priority. This isn't new. As a matter of fact, it's such an old argument with Bitcoin, going back 6 years now, that this appears to be a feature.
Yes, and it's not going away anytime soon.
No, it's a feature. I mean, just presume that that's how it's going to be.
It's an undesirable feature.
It is to me.
Yeah.
But I try not to argue about how the world should be. I try to address it as it is. And as it is, BTC, Bitcoin, is a store of value. It's supposed to be hard and clunky to use because that means that you're more likely to store value in it.
Yeah, which, you know, decreases the amount of supply that is circulating, which only drives up the value of it for the miners and who, of course,
right.
are making
I don't understand.
Bitcoin.
I cannot tell you why BTC is somehow more valuable than BCH, which is Bitcoin Cash that you're referring to. Bitcoin Cash has all the features of BTC and the feature of being able to send money cheaply. I have no idea. I am agog at this every time.
It's just the name recognition, right?
It's name recognition, and then every once in a while you'll find somebody on the BTC side of the whole argument that says something like, every other coin is flawed. There's programming problems. BTC is the only one that isn't flawed.
Well, that's an absurd allegation.
It is.
But BTC maximalist, that's a Bitcoin maximalist, that's someone who rejects the validity of all other cryptocurrencies, they tend to say pretty crazy things.
You have to say crazy things in order to maintain a monopoly, and that's what they're trying to do. So,
well, they're never going to. Well, as long
of
as
course
Monero
they
exists.
They never wanted to compromise in the first place. That's how you get forks, you know?
True. So the efficiency.
I want my wife to stay with me and I want to be able to beat her. You can't do both.
Mark, that is at least the third time tonight as we've been discussing things largely throughout the off the air that you've mentioned spouse beating. Is everything okay?
Everything's fine. Thank you.
I knew it was. I was just joking with you. The efficiency, speed, and resilience of cryptocurrencies give people financial inclusion and access advantages, said PayPal president and CEO Dan Schulman, who described the eventual shift from physical to digital currencies as inevitable. Also happening, I mean, most people, I very rarely even carry around cash because I can just swipe a card, which is just transferring digital currency from one account to another. When you add in cryptocurrency, I almost never use any actual physical hard currency other than gold. Gold is probably my most used physical currency.
More than US dollars?
Yeah, I almost never carry cash.
Hmm.
So cryptocurrency is digital money, obviously, exchanged without fees. CNN doesn't know what they're talking about.
No.
Between two parties online with no involvement from traditional banks and no regulatory oversight by national governments. That part's at least true. I mean, they're trying to change that, but there absolutely are fees with sending cryptocurrency. Most of the time, those fees are trivial. But with Bitcoin, BTC, the fees are very, very, very high. Our global reach, digital payments expertise, two-sided network, and rigorous security and compliance controls provide us with the opportunity and the responsibility to help facilitate the understanding, redemption, and interoperability of these new instruments of exchange, Schulman said in a statement. That was a lot of words to not really say anything.
Right. We're just trying to get in on the cryptocurrency train. Well, at this point, China has released its own digital currency. The United States has claimed that it's going to release its own. So, of course, PayPal realizes, and they've known this for some time. I mean, sure. PayPal is not ignorant of Bitcoin.
Right.
Quite the opposite. People have
they banned my account because idiots kept writing for Bitcoin in the memos, despite me telling them explicitly not to do that.
Right. And basically, they just look. I mean, you're getting money from through PayPal and then sending them Bitcoin, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's a very simple transaction, and you know, they know what's going on, and they decided we don't want to do business with anybody who has anything to do with Bitcoin. Goodbye. And now they're like, we'll change our mind a little bit on that.
Well, I don't know that they would. I don't know if they would unban me for life, or if they would if I had never.
Oh no, they're not going to. Why would they?
Right, or if I had never traded with them at all, and I was still selling Bitcoin through PayPal, I think they would probably still ban me because I'm a competitor. I'm a small competitor, but technically a competitor.
Yeah, why allow your competition to use your platform?
PayPal says that the new service will give customers the ability to hold and exchange Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, and Litecoin cryptocurrencies using the company's digital wallet, which lets people shop online, request, and send money. What do you think? I think this is bad for cryptocurrency, but it may be good for adoption. 855-450-3733. It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in to talk about whatever is on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. With you in the studio, it's Aria and Mark. And we're talking about Bitcoin, and if you want to know what that is, then head on over to Bitcoin.com. They have everything you need to know there about Bitcoin. If you're already aware of Bitcoin and you want to keep up with the latest news, they also have a news site that you can find at news.bitcoin.com. And if we sold you on Bitcoin Cash and you want to get involved with it, then check out local.bitcoin.com. It's a trading platform where you can buy Bitcoin Cash or sell Bitcoin Cash using dozens of payment methods like PayPal. Although, obviously, they're going to ban you for that one if they figure it out. Venmo, also going to ban you. Bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. I stopped saying also going to ban you because that's true of literally every payment method listed except meeting in person with cash. But Bitcoin.com can't do anything about that. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted, which means it's also a global trading platform that actually respects your privacy. Check out local.bitcoin.com. to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash. Again, local.bitcoin.com. So PayPal, despite, you know, being one of the aforementioned companies that will absolutely shut you down and ban you for life if they catch you selling Bitcoin, they're now getting involved with cryptocurrency. And what I realize, and this is kind of an obvious statement, but if they're going to sell Bitcoin to people, it means that PayPal has Bitcoin, or at least they've at least worked out the inroads to be able to buy Bitcoin themselves. Where is PayPal going to get its Bitcoin? I'll sell them some.
The many of these bigger companies, I mean, we've seen public companies going into Bitcoin over the course of the last several months. And I talk about it on the Bitcoin.com, the news.bitcoin.com spots that I do during the break. If you don't get those, then, well, you need to find a system for listening to the show that has the ads. But I've been talking about it.
I don't listen to those.
I've been talking about it for a long time that, hey, look, at some point or another, this is going to break. And yeah. it looks like it's breaking now.
Bitcoin adoption, according to something Ian sourced last night, it's only at like 7% in the United States right now. So only 7% of people even have Bitcoin in the United States. We're far from the threshold where it's mainstream. We're not at 15%. I think that's where it starts to become main. We're still in the early influencers period of this technology.
So there's going to be 21 million Bitcoins when Bitcoin's done. There's about currently, maybe a little less now, but there's about 21 million millionaires in the world.
Yeah.
And one would presume, this is just a guess, if Bitcoin continues to progress forward as an idea and as a holding, then there's going to come a time when every millionaire in the world wants to have a Bitcoin.
Yep.
Now, what would be the value of a Bitcoin when every millionaire has one? I don't know the answer to that. I can't tell you how much it would be worth.
It's going to be pretty high.
But it's going to be high. And
which is sort of the point that I was getting at. With just 7% of demand in the United States and considerably less in other parts of the world, I don't know what worldwide adoption of Bitcoin is, but if 7% of people in the world can demand this technology and in so doing drive the price up to $13,000, what will happen when 100% of the population has that same demand?
Right. Well, I would say this is what's likely to happen is that people will want to use the technology for what it was designed for, which is a currency as opposed to a store of value, as they're calling a BTC. So I think personally, this is my opinion, that you will see Bitcoin BTC rise, and then it will come to a point where it just sort of stalls out. But every time Bitcoin goes up, the alts go up more quickly. So, and the alts, by alts, I mean every other cryptocurrency that's not Bitcoin.
I hate the term altcoin because it suggests that all other cryptocurrencies only exist in relation to Bitcoin.
At this point, it's true, or largely true. How's that? When the altcoins, so most of the altcoins do what they say they're going to do, what we're going to have to do as a, you know, society or whatever, figure out which ones do it best.
Monero
has great services. So does Bitcoin Cash. So does, you know, a variety of them. Divi is attempting to be the easiest one to use. So
is Divi a privacy coin?
It is not a privacy coin, no.
Okay. I want a privacy coin to win in the long run. Something like Hush or Monero or Zcash.
Yep. Zencash, we talked about here on the air, too. I hope that hope they all do well.
Same.
By God, I'm invested in them. But
well, I don't want any of them to ultimately win and be the only cryptocurrency, because that's bad for cryptocurrency.
I don't think you'll see that.
No, I don't either.
I think we'll always have competition,
and that's good.
Likely is an atomic swap situation where what that means is that somebody will be able to send cryptocurrency, and then somebody receives. So say I can send you Bitcoin Cash, mm-hmm. but you want to receive Monero, and some program just gets in there and figures out how to send you the Monero from my Bitcoin Cash.
Hey, you have, you know, $50 incoming in Bitcoin Cash. Would you like us to convert that into? Okay, that would be a cool feature for a wallet to have, actually.
Currently, you basically have you pay 3% to a bank in order to do just about every transaction out there if you use a credit card, right? Somebody's already paying that.
Banks suck, Mark.
I understand that.
They are the literal devils.
If a company can put together some kind of quick swap that takes 1.5%, everybody saves 50%. And that's a real good thing. I really truly believe this is the technology of the future. And maybe we'll see that be the case. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But so far, I'm not wrong.
No, I agree. It's definitely the technology of the future. I mean, we've been on this road toward digital payments for decades, and cryptocurrency is just the next step along that goal.
Right.
And I mean, it could have been one of these U.S. government cryptocurrencies, or quote, cryptocurrencies, or it could have been, you know, the Chinese digital currency. It could have been any of those, but they've already lost the ideological war.
Well, they're going to create a cryptocurrency that they can inflate and make more of, what the inflate means. They're going to make one that they can make more of so they can continue to do the same dirty tricks they've done for centuries. And I don't mean those governments, but I mean governments generally, right? For millennia, governments have manipulated money for their own benefit, and they're going to not want to stop doing that. But it's going to be even more clear when you put your digital dollars into the digital bank. And Bitcoin was and they were worth 5 Bitcoins. And then when you pull them out, they're worth 4. You're going to be like, why am I storing my currency in digital dollars? And once people aren't storing their currency, you know, their value in USDs or yuan or whatever, then it's going to be not. And you're using a technology to store it that can be used for transactions.
Yeah.
People are going to stop that extra step of using government currencies. And that would be Satoshi Nakamoto's goal all along, was to simply take out of the hands of the state the ability to create money, to rob you of your value.
He was also no fan of the banks themselves.
Right. Or the government killing machines. Yeah. You know, just creating money in order to fight wars over and over again.
And Bitcoin is by far the best way to defund the war machine for those out there who actively want to make a change in their lives to stop dropping bombs on people. Check out Bitcoin.com to learn more about all of this. Again, Bitcoin.com, 855-450-3733.
News from news.bitcoin.com. $9 trillion, a third of the U.S. debt, has been created just since September 2019. The Bank of China's new digital currency has been used in more than 3 million transactions, worth more than a billion won. Still nothing from the U.S. Federal Reserve's digital currency. John McAfee indicted for tax evasion and SEC violations. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, the only show where you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. And with you tonight, it's Aria and Mark. And evidently, I assume most people out there have seen Borat. I've seen it, but I was really young when I saw it, and I don't remember much about it. The only scene I remember was Borat saying at the rodeo that he wanted George W. Bush to drink blood from the skulls of the women and children, and everyone there cheering like they didn't actually hear the horrific thing that he had just said.
Well, at some point or another in that movie, the audience began to turn on Borat. Like he's like, kill them down to the lizards, right? Like so Borat is this character from some fictitious place that sounds like Tajikistan, right? Like, because there's, you got to admit, ladies and gentlemen, there's several places in the Middle East area that you don't know that in the name Stan, yeah. Right? I can tell you that's true for me.
Sure.
And he just sort of made up a word that ends in Tajikistan or something like that, and people take his word for it that he's some kind of, you know, important wahoo from this country, from that particular country. And so he ended up in this case at a rodeo, and they for some reason gave him a microphone and he said, you know, basically appeared to be a Muslim that disliked the Iraqis. And of course, you know, at the time, this was 2002 or something, 2003, whenever it was.
Yeah, this was at the peak of that.
Yeah, the fervor.
Nonsensical patriotism nonsense.
And of course, people wanted to believe that we weren't killing the Muslims because of Muslimness or whatever. They then, you know, having a Muslim say, yes, yes, kill them, sounded good. At one moment, it seemed like he was just passionate about America and its intervention in the Middle East. And later it became like, man, this guy's bloodthirsty and crazy. And even the rodeo crowd began to, like, you know, like the clapping began to diminish markedly. And
I'll have to watch it again.
It was really obvious. What Borat does, well, what Sacha Baron Cohen, who is the performance artist for Borat, what Borat is one of his characters. And so he's, you know, odd.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, for instance, Borat went to a beach wearing a ridiculous thong bathing suit. Because, you know, when you see a guy in a, you know, small bathing suit at the beach, you're guessing European, gay or European, and trying to figure that out. So
why are those the choices, gay or European?
I don't know why they're the choices. Ask the gay and the European guys.
Let's go to the phones before we get too much further into it. Before we make everyone angry, we've got Dave calling from New Hampshire. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey guys. So in the liberty struggle for New Hampshire liberty, we've all had our frustrations over the years. But it's easy to lose track of just how much progress we've made in some areas. And so you guys probably both remember, especially Mark, you probably remember that all the different open carry hassles that I had and I got video of back in 2007 yeah. era. And most people who know of me know of, like, the one incident, right, where the DPS trooper comes up to me and confronted me, and then this crowd comes spilling out of the nearest building to confront him. but something happened this week, I think, that just illustrates how much more accepted open carry is. There was a rally where the main Republican candidate for Senate in New Hampshire, Carla Garrick, was speaking, and she just happens to have a pistol strapped on, and no one cares.
I spoke at a rally Monday, and I was open carrying with a pistol on my hip, and no one cared there either.
I was at, I went to a hardware store this morning, and I noticed on the door they now have a no firearms sticker, which I still consider a victory in so much as they acknowledge that you were allowed to wear a firearm into a store unless we put up a sticker. And
Dude, I don't even give it any thought. I walk into everywhere I go open carrying.
Right.
And
that's in most places it's fine.
I should clarify something. It's a picture that it looks like Carla Garrick, and Carla Garrick posted it, and the person speaking who looks like Carla Garrick in the picture is open carrying. I'm not 100% sure that it was Carla Garrick who was the one, but I think so.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, now in New Hampshire, there have been a lot of strides towards freedom as far as guns go and these sorts of things. You know, it wasn't the reason I moved to New Hampshire, the kind of freedom that I was looking for, but I know a lot of people are. There's a guy from California that visited last week, and he just thought it was wonderful that he could carry a gun.
Awesome.
Well, you know, it's one of those freedoms that you don't, I mean, I didn't care anything about it much in 1996, but once, you know, I got my first concealed carry license back when I lived in Texas, you know, and I started carrying a little bit, and I started really missing being able to carry in all the places that I couldn't, right? And today, you know, when I have to leave New Hampshire, it feels really like being naked.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a decentralized peacemaking device to be able to carry, you know.
Agreed entirely. Dave, thank you so much for the call. Of course, I'm from a state that has constitutional carry anyway. So, I mean,
Mississippi?
Uh-huh.
When did that happen?
When I was still in college.
Okay.
I think. I don't remember how old I was, but I think I was still in college. I mean, it's a fairly long time ago. But even before that, I mean, the culture of Mississippi had people driving around, you know, just with loaded shotguns in their truck all the time. No one ever gave any thought about it because literally everyone in Mississippi has a gun or several. So the same culture kind of exists here in New Hampshire, in fact. And that was surprising to me because New Hampshire doesn't have the Christian conservatism like Mississippi has, but they still have the conservatism.
What amazes me is just how illegal guns are in Massachusetts, just across the state line, and how legal they are in New Hampshire and how legal they were in Vermont. Things have changed a little bit in Vermont. You know, the Bernie bros managed to get a little more parlance there. So
if I go to Massachusetts, am I even allowed to take my gun, even if I just like leave it in my car or something?
No.
Well, I don't go to Massachusetts.
I understand.
I'm just
trying to make it abundantly clear to anybody who travels through Massachusetts. I mean, you can get in trouble for firearm rounds in Massachusetts.
What if I'm just traveling through the state?
I understand what you're concerned.
There's no way to get out of New Hampshire and to the rest of the country without going through either New York or Massachusetts.
No way to go to the rest of the country without going through New York, period. New York is better than Massachusetts on these issues, as I have heard, but I would warn you.
New York is better?
Yes.
That's horrifying.
Right. And a state and a sentence almost never uttered.
New York is better on guns than Massachusetts.
Yes.
Which is like 5 minutes to the south of here.
I know a guy from Connecticut who claimed, I don't know if I believe this statement, that he drove around Massachusetts to get to New Hampshire in order to come to the Porcupine Freedom Festival when he came.
That's insane. So getting back to Borat, Rudy Giuliani is evidently in the film, and he is caught on camera attempting to seduce Borat's 15-year-old daughter in the new movie. Coming to us from consequenceofsound.net, did Sacha Baron Cohen just save democracy? At the very least, he embarrassed Donald Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani. Now, it's important to note, I want to state this right off the bat, that the 15-year-old daughter is not actually 15 years old. She's a 24-year-old actress who was playing a 15-year-old child. I haven't seen the film. I don't even think it's been released yet. So I can't say whether she actually looks
so
like
much
a 15-year-old
for a,
or not.
October surprise, then.
What?
So much for an October surprise, then.
I don't understand.
October surprise is a thing that happens in October that changes the election outcome.
Ah.
It's still Joe Biden's son at this point.
Well, it may be this.
No.
I don't know. You don't think so?
No.
Well, we're going to get into the story on what happened here in just a moment. 855-450-3733. One more time, that's 855-450-FREE, as in... It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. The only show where you can call in to talk about anything that is on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you in the studio, it's Aria and Mark. And the new Borat movie I just looked at comes out this coming Friday, evidently, on Amazon Prime Video. Surprising, this is probably going to be one of the few movies to even release this year. I realized that last night when I finally got the chance to watch a horror movie for the first time this month. I mean, Mark, you know, I watch a lot of horror movies.
Yeah, you're really into them, especially during the month of October.
Yes, and I have not watched one prior to yesterday, this entire October. So I finally set aside time to do that, and it was supremely disappointing. I mean, that's kind of the issue here. If you only get one movie to watch, probably throughout the entire month, it needs to be a really good movie. If I was going to, if I knew I would have the opportunity to watch like five or six more, then it didn't have to be as good.
I saw briefly. What's the one? Is it called Scream? The one, I don't know. It's a new series. I don't know anything about it, but I saw it on
Scream.
Yeah, maybe.
Scream is very old.
Well, you're younger than I am too.
Yeah.
Who's the attractive young man that was dating Demi Moore?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't keep up with this.
Aaron Kushner. No, something I've got.
Is this in the movie?
No. This is in real life.
Okay. Who's Demi Moore?
Oh, God.
So in a bid to resuscitate Donald Trump's floundering presidential campaign. And again, this is coming to us from Consequence of Sound. I don't know whether the presidential campaign is floundering or not. I saw a bunch of news articles saying, oh, Biden is leading by 10 points in Pennsylvania and all of this other crap. I just don't understand how anyone can take polls seriously after 2016. Hmm. Did they not learn definitively then how useless polls are for gauging the pulse of the American people?
Well, I don't know if it's definitive. No. At this point, you would have to believe that people... So they're doing a lot of polling. And
yes, and they did in 2016 as well.
With the intention of finding out whether or not they made mistakes. It would behoove the polling organizations to be correct.
Yes.
There's a lot of money to be made in being correct about who's going to win where. But
they were all wrong 4 years ago.
They weren't all wrong, but they were, yeah, I mean, you know, certainly.
The overwhelming majority were all wrong. Nate Silver of 538, he's a statistician, so he tracks these numbers regularly. He is always looking at these polls, and he predicted Hillary Clinton at the start of the day a 95% chance of victory based on the poll numbers he had seen. And, of course, Donald Trump won.
Yeah.
So all of the polls, one of the most well-known people who crunches the kinds of numbers, came up with 95 to 5%, and he was wrong.
Well, and it could go either way. And I think that the death of polls.
I have to hedge that statement real quick because he wasn't exactly wrong. I mean, he gave Donald Trump a 5% chance of winning. If something with a 5% chance of happening happens, that doesn't mean the chance wasn't 5%.
Sure. That's a pretty lame excuse, though.
Yeah. But I didn't want to say that before the fact checkers over on the Matrix server started saying I said something stupid again.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies that make a lot of money being right on polls, and they better be right. And there's a way for them to be right, you know, whatever that is. So they need to figure that out.
Well, again, they were.
But I'll say this: it is really hard to beat an incumbent, and the Trump supporters are wily, right? They're just as likely to say, "Yeah, I'm supporting Biden," just because it would throw things off, because they don't like the polling companies.
I don't know how true that is. I imagine they want, you know, to create the illusion of massive amounts of support for Donald Trump. Wouldn't you think?
I haven't gotten one single call of anyone asking me my opinion on the presidential election.
I haven't gotten a call about anything in regard to the election or a Facebook message or an email. Well, I get emails, but mostly it's because people find out my email address and they subscribe me for this nonsense.
Well, they want to know whether or not my, you know, they want to let me know that my car warranty is nearly up.
I get a lot of those. Yes. It's surprising.
I get a Medicare one too. And I'm
really?
Like, I'm not old enough for this.
So, Hunter Biden did a lot of stuff recently. Trump has gone as far as to claim without evidence that he's in possession of raunchy photos and videos involving Hunter Biden and underage girls. But in Cohen's Borat's subsequent movie film, love the name, it's Giuliani who's seen engaging in such promiscuous activity. Spoilers are ahead, so for those people who actually want to watch the movie, you know, I'm not going to really get into... I mean, it's a very minor spoiler. Towards the end of the film, 24-year-old actress Irina Nowak, playing the role of Borat's 15-year-old daughter, sits down for an interview with Giuliani in a New York City hotel room. After she gins him up with a series of compliments and red meat questions related to China, she invites Giuliani into the next room for a drink. Once in the bedroom, which has been rigged with hidden cameras, Giuliani sits on the bed and begins touching her back. She removes his microphone and Giuliani untucks his shirt and reaches into his trousers. Borat, wearing a bra, you look horrified.
I'm listening, yeah.
Borat, wearing a red bra and panties, then bursts into the room and yells, "She's 15, she's too old for you, please take me instead."
Giuliani, that's wonderful.
Yeah, Giuliani promptly exits the room and Borat and Tutar are then seen running down the sidewalk to the wail of police sirens. Now, it's important to... I have not seen the film, but it doesn't say that she ever pointed out that she's 15 years old. And I got to tell you, as someone who looks at a lot of women, there's a really big difference between a 24-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
To the extent that I don't think most 24-year-olds could believably say that they're 15 years old. So if she didn't like sit down there and say, "Oh, I'm a 15-year-old reporter," then I don't see any reason why Rudy should have believed she was 15 years old.
I don't, of course, know anything. I'm curious as to whether or not he's married to Judith Giuliani. It looks like from 2003 to 2019. Perhaps this is why. Yeah, it looks like his. It would appear as though Jules, he is no longer married. Now, I don't know when this took place, yeah. But, you know.
Well, presumably last year it was being recorded. That's what I would presume.
I couldn't tell you when he divorced Judith Giuliani here, but according to the interwebs, he was married to her until 2019.
Well, maybe he was poly. As Giuliani tells it, he was simply tucking in his shirt after removing his microphone. He also claims that the clip is doctored and is a hit job in response to his investigation into Hunter Biden. I'm not going to quote Giuliani here because it's stupid. In the scene, which has been seen by Consequence of Sound, Giuliani can be heard telling Tutar to come here as they enter the bedroom. He then sits on the bed and asks for her phone number and address and begins touching her back. At this point, she untucks Giuliani's shirt and removes his microphone. Giuliani responds by laying on his back. He then puts his hand down his pants for several seconds. At no point does this scene cut in such a way to suggest it is edited or doctored.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds... I just don't have enough facts, all right?
Sure.
And I mean, if Borat loves the salacious stuff, and he's excellent at it.
Yeah.
I need to know whether or not, in order to be... stunned and appalled or whatever, I need to know, A, was Giuliani informed that he was being interviewed by a 15-year-old?
Right, and that's unknown.
Who was then going to make him a drink as she untucked his shirt. Or, and also, was Giuliani married at the time? Because...
maybe he had an open marriage. That's not my business.
That would be part of the question. Was sure. he married?
Okay. Did he betray the trust of his spouse? Is a valid question.
Right. I want to know that because you know for whatever reason that's important to me in these circumstances. At the very least, I think it should be known that these politicians are what they are.
Sure.
And which in this case he sounds like a relatively normal guy who is newly single. Hoping to get some attention from a foreign reporter.
Who was 24 years old, but playing a 15-year-old.
Right.
And it's unclear whether or not he was aware of that.
Right. You know, I don't know that. I mean, the article isn't clear on that. The movie's not out. And it doesn't sound like it's going to be out in time for it to matter. And would that change your vote for Donald Trump if Rudy Giuliani, was found in this situation? I don't know.
I don't either. I just found it to be interesting, and I'm looking forward to the new movie, so I wanted to talk about it. But that's pretty much the extent of it. Borat Cohen came running in wearing a crazy, what I would say was a pink transgender outfit, says Giuliani. That's got to be a funny scene, though.
Oh, he's certainly a great comedian.
855-450-3733. Again, that's 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live. Call in and talk about anything that's on your mind.
From New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestselling author Larry Correa comes the latest chapter in the epic military fantasy saga of The Forgotten Warrior, when the Grand Inquisitor perverts the law in his genocidal plot to kill every man, woman, and child in the Untouchable cast. Only the traitor, Ashok Vidal, and the Sons of the Black Sword stand in his way. If it's war he wants, it is war he will get. Bane Books. Books presents Destroyer of Worlds. Available September 1st, wherever books are sold. Visit MonsterHunterNation.com for more. Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, the only show where you can call in and talk about anything that happens to be on your mind. Toll-free number is 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live. With you in the studio is Aria and Mark. And are lockdowns killing people? The Federalist seems to think so. And, I mean, we know to a degree that that's true because people are committing suicide. People are becoming alcoholics and dying from alcohol poisoning. And you know,
presumably drugs in the same vein.
Yeah. But to what extent is this happening? I don't know. The Federalist seems to think that the lockdowns are killing more people than the virus. And this is how to show people that, according to them.
And I'd also point out that people in nursing homes right now, because this virus is really a nursing home issue, a geriatric issue, you know, not much else. Pardon me, somebody's calling my thing.
Sure.
It's... you know, the people in nursing homes, they're not getting to see their families in a lot of cases. They're being held for months without seeing their families, and their will to live is being sapped out of them. And at certain points in life, if you don't have a will to live, you're not going to.
Yeah, that's tragically true. Not it didn't help that so many of these states, you know, sent people with coronavirus into nursing homes.
Right.
And then, you know, allowed them to die. But you see it every night on the news ticker, on the news, a ticker with the cumulative death toll from the coronavirus. I don't see that every night on the news because I don't watch the news, because I don't want negativity in my life.
I do watch the news for Saipan every five days out of seven. And they do have this ticker. So what will happen is two or three people will show up from someplace. They'll get tested. Coming off the plane, they'll be found to have a fever. They don't know they're ill. And then they, you know, they find out that they've got the Rona, and they send them off to quarantine.
To one of these FEMA camps.
In this case, it's a resort that's being paid to, you know. Well, nobody's coming to Saipan now anyway, so they're lucky to have the business at all. So the government's paying for the resort fee. And they, you know, go off there until they feel better or whatever the case is. So there's been like 70-something cases, but the vast majority of them are people who are coming in on an airplane and have been caught, as opposed to people who have somehow managed to get it, you know, get past the phalanx of bureaucrats.
Yet you don't see the other side of the equation, the number of deaths resulting from the lockdowns imposed ostensibly to fight the coronavirus.
No, this is truly the unseen.
More and more medical professionals are recognizing the severe damage the lockdowns have caused to present and future public health. A worldwide collection of medical and public health experts has just issued a declaration stating that current, quote, lockdown policies are producing devastating effects on short and long-term public health. My biggest concern with the public health in this regard is the mental health. Like the Canadian Dr. Fauci, whatever her name was, we talked about her last night, who's advocating that, you know, you shouldn't have sex, but if you do, you should wear a mask while you have sex. She recognizes that, you know, sex is critical to the human condition. It's important for people's mental well-being. Why aren't they acknowledging that interacting, sitting across from someone, having a conversation with,
right,
hugging someone, these are all critical interactions for a person's mental health?
Yes. They are.
But they're just sweeping that under the rug like that isn't even a thing.
Seeing a smiling face when you're going through a grocery line is critical to human health. And
especially, I mean, if you're having a bad day.
Yeah. Mental health is suffering with this whole you can't see people's mouths. At this point, if I get a mask and I have the time, I draw a smile on it. If I'm going to, you know, be forced to wear this thing, at the very least, I'm going to be smiling at somebody all the time. And I think that that may trick slightly their lizard brain, you know?
So, I'm trying not to think about you at home with like a permanent marker, just drawing smiles on masks and passing. Okay, I can wear this one tomorrow. Drawing.
No, it's I don't weird, usually man. Wear new ones. I got old masks.
And that, to quote, keep these measures in place until a vaccine is available will cause irreparable damage, with the underprivileged disproportionately harmed. This Great Barrington Declaration, they provided a link, argues that public health policy should instead focus on protecting vulnerable parts of the population, such as the elderly and infirm, while allowing the rest of the public to return to normal life to build up herd immunity.
Yeah, this is really the best, like, the thing that we said to do on air, what I said to do on air months ago, which is everybody had adopt an old person and bring them the stuff that they need, then we would have solved this problem a long time ago. The rest of us all got the Rona. We'd have been about as sick as Trump got, and, you know, they would have been fine.
And Trump's not in very good mental health in the first place. I mean, very good physical health in the first
place.
No,
and he was fine.
And he's old. Within a few days, almost 32,000 medical and public health professionals had signed the declaration. Its author's argument is reinforced by increasing evidence that the lockdowns have not had any effect on reducing deaths from the coronavirus. Well, it wasn't really supposed to. It was supposed to delay the deaths, not really reduce the number of them.
It was going to reduce the number. If you flatten the curve, then you've reduced the number.
No, you just drawn the curve out along a longer period of time.
No, I don't think that's what their goal was. Their goal was to get more time to be able to handle it. And apparently they can. At this point, I can't say conclusively that we know how to deal with the Rona, but deaths are down. And they're way down.
Are they still down?
Yeah, so if I've got my little chart here, as you can imagine.
I was hoping you did.
And if you consider, so between...
Is it about viral loads, though?
Yeah, viral load is an issue. basically, every week in the United States, between 50 and 60,000 people die. This was long before the Rona or whatever. Between 50 and 60,000 people die every week in the United States. And there's nothing unusual about that.
And between that, and by that, you mean 50,000 and 60,000, yeah. Just to clarify, yeah.
If you consider the bad weeks during the coronavirus to be over 60,000, then we were done with the Rona in August. We had a peak and a dead cat bounce. And at this point, basically, things are clearly returning to normal. If you consider between 50 and 60,000 to be normal like I do, then they are back at normal.
Interesting. And this may also be increasing the number of coronavirus deaths by delaying the point at which people have built up an immune response to slow its spread. Even the World Health Organization is now admitting that lockdowns are rarely an effective response to the pandemic. And again, they are providing links to all of this, but I'm not clicking through. This critical information does not seem to have permeated the larger public, however. No news ticker will display the total number of lockdown-induced fatalities.
Right. You don't have any idea. And honestly, you don't have any idea how many people have died of the Rona either. Because,
sure.
I mean, how are you to say if somebody dies that they died? You can say whether or not they died and tested positive.
Yes, and they did that with a number of bizarre cases where the deaths were totally unrelated to possibly having coronavirus.
Sure. And, I mean, what is it? George Floyd, the guy that famously kicked off the huge BLM issue across the United States.
Again, because it's a fight that keeps having to be brought up.
He had the coronavirus. And
was he killed that recently?
Yes.
It was like he was killed like last year.
Nope.
No, it was during the pandemic, wasn't it?
Because the first protests were against the lockdown in places like Michigan and stuff like that. And then those protesters were terrible because they were Republicans. And then the second set of protests were against Black Lives Matter. And those protests were acceptable because they were Democrats.
In part, this is due to the pervasive bias of the mainstream media in supporting Democrats' lockdown policies. I've got to point out to the Federalist here that the lockdown policies were, in fact, implemented equally by Republicans as they were Democrats.
Equally?
I don't know. How many Republican governors are there?
I would say that Republican governors have been less stringent in their lockdowns, would be what I would say.
But they still locked down.
Fine. I mean, you know, like but being in prison for one day and in prison for 1 year, there's a difference. You'd agree?
I would agree.
Okay.
The Federalist here, I've got to remind everyone, is a pretty hard right-leaning site, it would appear.
Yeah,
they are. Yeah, I'm never paying any attention
to
them. You
said The Federalist, and I knew what you were reading. Yes.
Okay. That's from, I mean, they're calling it the Wuhan virus, to give people an example of how right-wing they are. 855-453, as in freedom. It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in to talk about whatever's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Mark.
And Intercoin is built to help democratize power to the people and to their local communities. Cryptography enables people to hold secure and private elections without any matter of community governance. It could even be used for securely tallying and reporting results for national elections. Intercoin has also pioneered provably random polling that is unaffected by poor voter turnout or spoiler effects. It can be used to continuously adjust levers of monetary policy, such as how much UBI to issue the next day. Intercoin is attempting to regain some of the freedoms that are threatened on the internet and the real world, and we think that's important here on Free Talk Live. So we accepted $40,000 worth of Intercoin tokens from Intercoin Inc. for advertising. If you also think freedom is important, check out Intercoin at intercoin.org. You can invest in this project and potentially make big gains or just be involved and shape its future. Again, that's intercoin.org, intercoin.org. And we're talking about the lockdowns here and this very, very right-leaning piece from the Federalist. Evidently, that's expected from the Federalist.
Yeah, that's what they do.
I generally don't keep track of which news agencies are left or right because I just go into it knowing that, hey, they have some kind of angle.
This Barrington Accord or whatever they're calling it is accurate. I have not heard anything that they have said in this article to be inaccurate, even though they may have a bias.
They have provided links, but I have not clicked through on any of them.
Okay.
But it's also due to the nature of the message that mainstream media is not talking about the lockdown-induced fatalities. Deaths from the coronavirus are a single number from a single cause, but deaths due to the lockdown come from many different sources, such as depression and mental illness, suicides, delays in preventative medical care, including deaths from cancer and postponed vaccinations.
A lot of people just aren't going to the doctors. As a matter of fact, I was talking to somebody who's sick from corona. Uh-huh. I was talking to somebody whose daughter is sick from corona, had like sort of ongoing conditions. Now she's testing negative at this point.
Okay.
Four times she's tested negative.
Okay.
But her she's got her doctor sent her, you know, a little note to go to the pulmonologist or whatever, the lung doctor.
Okay.
Specialist. The lung doctor won't see her because she's has effects from corona. No, don't bring that in my office, lady. So, you know, like how are you, if she dies of this, she will be a death due to coronavirus, but it should be a death to medical malpractice.
Sure.
If a doctor refuses to see a sick person, yeah, especially after they've taken tests to see that everything's fine, that doctor ought to be ought to lose their license. I mean, that's disgusting.
That is pretty gross. Drug and other opioid abuse. That's a very weird way of phrasing that. I would also add alcohol abuse into that. Domestic violence and child abuse. I can't imagine anything worse for domestic violence victims and child abuse victims out there than being locked in the homes with their abusers,
right,
basically for the last 6 months.
Right.
I can't believe that we as a society allowed that to happen to people. Cardiovascular disease and stroke due to unemployment. I don't think either of those things is actually caused by unemployment, but whatever.
Strokes can be caused by stress, which could be caused by unemployment. Sure.
Okay. Reduced average lifespan from other causes due to unemployment. Now it seems like they're just sort of making things up.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of things out there that are causing deaths that, from this lockdown, this whole situation, and they're hard to quantify.
Sure.
Because the situations are odd. But yeah, I mean, you know, as their list should get less and less, they should start with the big things and go to the small things.
Attempts have been made to pull these diverse casualties into one model. A group of South African actuaries advised their government that a lockdown would cost 29 lives for every one life saved from the virus.
Wow.
A UK government study estimated more conservatively that the ratio would be 4-1, with lockdowns causing 200,000 fatalities while saving only 50,000 people from COVID-19.
Which
from
would
death
mean
by COVID-19.
Here in the United States, whatever the amount of people that were saved, four times as many would be lost. That's an amazing thing, and I can assure you that, that the people who support lockdowns and masks and all these other things aren't thinking about that stuff.
No, they're certainly not. So I feel like that's an important point, and I've put it up here. The actual the actual study he links to, it's from medium.com, and it also contains links to the study without actually going into the actual study. Neither of these places are actually going into the actual study.
Yeah, they always link you back to their own stuff rather than linking you to the source
material. Well, they're not doing that. They are linking me to telegraph.co.uk, but none of them are actually linking me to the study that they're purporting this was, reported in.
That's
frustrating. Yeah, it is. So, to get this message across, we need such a number for the United States to penetrate the media barrier. But it doesn't matter. Did that penetrate the media barrier in the UK or in South Africa? Did it end any of the lockdowns because they said, hey, look, we're killing more people this way, and here's the numbers to show it?
Europe seems to be taking this a little more realistically than the United States is, but Europe didn't have the per capita death rate the United States did because they didn't have Democratic governors sending, geriatric patients infected patients into geriatric wards.
But the people of the United States also generally live in a delusional isolation bubble. So, of course, they're not taking anything in a realistic way. They're not a realistic people generally. To penetrate the media barrier and get general public miasma about this disease, we need to be able to present this formulation. For every X lives that continued lockdowns might save, X plus Y lives will be lost due to those very lockdowns. Fortunately, there is someone in the White House who knows exactly what is needed. In May, before he joined the COVID-19 task force, Dr. Scott Atlas and several colleagues published an excellent article in The Hill surveying the extensive public health costs of the economic collapse resulting from the lockdowns. In an interview about the article, Atlas noted that he and his colleagues did not do any sort of model or a complex hypothetical projection. We looked at established retrospective data that has been done that is empirical, that correlates loss of economic productivity, unemployment, and similarly the healthcare losses that we went through. Some commas in that would have been great, whoever transcribed that. Now we need a model that will pull together all the factors to let us make a life-for-life, death-for-death comparison of the threat of this disease versus the horrific cost of lockdowns as a therapy.
Yeah, I think that the individuals should be making these assessments. And I want to ask, ladies and gentlemen, although we found out a great deal about this virus as time has gone by, what are you doing differently than what you were doing the first week of the lockdown? I mean, perhaps you're not taking it as seriously, but I mean, when I went to the grocery store the very first week of this lockdown, I wore a mask. I had some hand sanitizer. Perhaps I had some rubber gloves. I didn't, but I mean, I could have.
Sure.
I mean, that's it. It's the same stuff. Wash your hands, wear a mask, all these things are the same things we've been doing for months. So all of the rest of this stuff is just how many angels could dance on the head of a pin.
I don't understand the metaphor. 855-450-3733, 855-453 as in free time.
So when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur, and LeVette wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work, so that was at a dead end.
DINOVITE.com.
I've been hearing Dinovite on the radio for years. It never actually crossed my mind to try it until it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. And all right, I'll try it. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using Dinovite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch, and he started to put weight on.
Dinovite is nutrition.
I wish that we would have started the Dinovite right away. It would have been so much easier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Every rescue dog in America deserves Dynavite for 90 days.
DINOVITE.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. Talk about anything that's on your mind, 855-450-3733. And with you tonight, it's Aria and Mark. And I've got good news for all the people out there. We have closed that article from the Federalist because it just continued on that way for another five or six paragraphs with him basically just saying, hey, we need these numbers. That was, that could have been sent out in a tweet, if we're being honest. But instead, he wanted to go the full distance and write this lengthy article about it. But I expected him to actually research those numbers. How many suicide deaths have there been since the lockdown started? And do the math himself. He didn't. So it turned out to be totally useless. A New Hampshire restaurant has decided to close rather than follow the mask law, which I would suggest is incorrect. There isn't a mask law in New Hampshire. There may be one in Epping, New Hampshire, which is the town in which this happened. But New Hampshire itself doesn't really have a mask law. It has a mask suggestion, but it isn't really a law. It's not a mandate. It's a suggestion.
Okay.
But in Epping, New Hampshire, restaurateur said he was closing up shop rather than following state mask requirements. Rosalind Ice Cream and Diner owner Joe Boge said he would rather close than require employees to wear masks and would only reopen when the requirements change. What's our options? Do we cow down and figure out a way to follow the rules, or do we make a stand? He asked. It was a unanimous decision to make their stand, and they're not going to bow down. That's pretty much it about the article. Just something interesting that happened. One more business closed because of the government lockdowns. You know, everyone wants to say it's because of COVID-19, but it's not. And here is a actual literal example of a business that's closed because of the lockdowns or because of the mandates related to the lockdowns.
Yeah, it's really difficult to know what would have happened in the absence of the government intervention surrounding the coronavirus.
And people were masking up before the mandates came into play.
Sure.
And that's one of the things I've been pointing out to people on Twitter and people who are on the left who are upset to find out that I'm against mask mandates because for some reason they don't know what anarchist means. But I'm pointing out, one of them even pointed out to me that most people in New Hampshire, like 70-something percent of people, were wearing masks in cities that don't have actual mask requirements. And I was like, right. So why do we need the mandates? No answer.
Right.
They're useless. I imagine the results would largely be what they are now. I had friends who were quarantining before the lockdown.
I don't know what the rule, what the situation is now, but I know at one point we read that New Hampshire wasn't the bottom in the country for seatbelt usage, although it is the only state in the union that an adult doesn't have to wear a seatbelt legally.
And it's only one of three where you don't have to ride a helmet. You don't have to have a helmet on a bicycle or a motorcycle.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I knew that there was no helmet law, but I don't know what the specifics are. It's a bad idea, ladies and gentlemen. You should wear a seatbelt and a helmet. But,
I would generally agree. I mean, sometimes a seatbelt is too much trouble and you're, just driving a quarter of a mile at 30 miles an hour.
Right. If you're not going fast enough, the chances are that it's not going to be particularly meaningful. But, generally a seatbelt is a good idea and generally a helmet is a good idea.
But moving on to other news, according to NPR.org, Pope Francis calls for same-sex civil union law in a new documentary. Mark, you and I discussed this a bit before the show. I said that I want to know what his justification is because in my understanding, the Bible is pretty clear about homosexuality and it is condemned in the Bible.
Yeah, I don't know what the Bible says about men and men or women and women getting married. I suspect it's largely silent on that issue. But as I understand it, having seen some work done by some people who are trying to disprove this notion that homosexuality is clearly spelled out in the Bible, is that it basically has to do with translations. Most of the translations people are reading at this point are English translations and or translations made from English translations. So,
which were made largely from Latin translations, which were made from translations of other languages.
And in it, the idea was is that they weren't in fact talking about homosexuality, but in fact, homosexual pederasty. And
what does that mean?
Sex with underage people.
Okay.
And now that certainly makes some sense, and you won't find many right-thinking individuals thinking that that's a good idea.
But why even specify the sex and the sex of the people in that?
Probably because it was an issue. It's still an issue in the Middle East. Remember, the United States military was providing young boys to Saudi leaders in order to get their way.
I didn't know
Saudi.
That.
I should have said Afghani. Afghani leaders during the Afghan War. It's absolutely true. All you have to do is look it up.
I don't doubt you. I just did not know that.
Yeah. United States military boy prostitutes ought to get you right there. And it's disgusting, and it's going on right now.
I don't want to get raided, so I'm not going to Google the combination of the words boy and prostitutes here on the studio PC. But
do an incognito window.
I don't think that will help. But okay, so I've never heard that, and I guess the only way to really know would be to learn the language that the Bible was originally written in. And presumably, that's Hebrew.
Well, it's not even one language.
Makes sense. I mean, and it was passed down by oral tradition prior to that. So
sure.
And to see what it actually says.
Yeah, I don't think that it's unlikely. I can say this. That all the references to homosexuality are not references to homosexuality. That if you're reading an English version, you aren't getting the real story on what the Bible says regarding homosexuality. You're getting the story that a translator made. And I'm not qualified to, I can't read these languages.
Right.
Aramaic and all that.
And I'm not going to bother learning them.
And a fair and just God wouldn't send me to hell for not knowing Aramaic, right?
Yes, I agree. That's one of the biggest problems I have with Christianity.
Me too. And once you can find one thing that translates oddly in a given situation, then you've got something that's questionable across the board. I reject that all that notion. But as far as the Pope goes and saying that people should, be able to marry.
Well, that's not quite what he said.
Okay, what did he say?
He's called for legislation to protect same-sex couples, according to comments he made in a new documentary that mark a break from Catholic doctrine. So he wants government to protect same-sex couples, which is very
different.
From
physical violence?
It doesn't specify.
Okay.
Well, it does. Homosexuals have a right to be a part of the family. They are children of God and have a right to a family, the Pope said in an interview.
All right.
What we have to create is a civil union law. That way they are legally covered.
All right.
I never thought I would have lived in a world where the Catholic Pope wants gay people to be able to adopt.
So my opinion on adoption would be this, that probably the best case scenario, the most perfect family, a perfect family includes marriage between one man and one woman.
I don't know that I agree with that at all.
However, no couple is perfect. So therefore, I would not claim that, two people of the same sex is the worst of flaws that a particular marriage could have. So if, for instance, you have a heterosexual with an abuser, that's worse than a homosexual couple that is providing the best family that they can.
Well, there is a lot of abuse in homosexual and lesbian marriages, especially lesbian marriages. For whatever reason, it's a rampant problem there.
I have no idea.
But if somebody wants, generally speaking, gay people, when they get married, lesbians, when they get married, they are far more stable and far more reliable and far more centered and capable of producing, far more successful than heterosexual people when they get married. And maybe that's because fewer homosexuals are getting married than heterosexual people. But I think if we base these things off of stability, we'll find that homosexual couples are probably better parents than heterosexual ones. That's what I suspect we'd find. It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria and Mark. And you've heard us talk about Divi here on Free Talk Live. And maybe you've wanted to set up one of their easy-to-deploy masternodes or stake Divi so that you can begin earning Divi right now. Well, Ian says that setting up a Divi masternode was incredibly easy and that staking was even easier. We're not investment advisors here, but we think you'll be impressed with your earning potential with Divi as compared to traditional investment vehicles. Go to DiviProject.org and get started. You can buy Divi at several exchanges or directly from the Divi team. Need help? There's a link to their Telegram channel right on the front page at DiviProject.org, DiviProject.org. Now, we're talking about the Pope here. Neither of us are Catholic, obviously, who has decided that the government should legislate to protect same-sex couples and their right to adopt, but he still is refusing to just call them marriages. So he doesn't want gay people to get married. He doesn't want lesbians to get married. He wants them to have civil unions.
So
I'm going to call them marriages, though, and I don't care if people like it or not.
Right.
I'm going to call heterosexual civil unions civil unions instead of marriages.
I have gone through some different changes on this.
Sure.
At one point, I would have said that, look, marriage has a definition, and let's just go create another term that helps define what's going on. One thing I hate is the way the language has been changed around the word partner. All right. Does partner mean somebody that you have met in the Old West? Does it mean a person with whom you've gone into business? Does it mean somebody that you've committed to spend your life with? Because it is frustrating to me when a heterosexual man describes his wife as his partner.
It's the opposite for me, because if only LGBTQ people are using the term partner, then using the term immediately identifies them as being LGBT.
Yes.
Well, I don't want that.
Well, what I want is to know what the hell I'm dealing with, because
does it matter what
it does?
Why?
When I introduce Ian, when I walk into a room, I'd like to introduce him as my partner and not have people think he's my gay husband. Okay? That's why. Let's stop messing with the language. Do you see my frustration? I have a wife.
No, because that's not frustrating. That is hilarious, Mark.
It's happened more than once that where I said, this is my partner. And he's like, business partner. Oh, yeah, business partner. Why? Because I'm not thinking about gay sex when I'm talking about my business partner.
That is the least frustrating thing I've ever heard. Or you could just add business in front of it.
Terms
then.
Should be...
People did initially say life partner. You know, they did initially
yes,
say that, but
that would
got
be
dropped.
Nice if that's what we're talking about.
That got
but
dropped.
Life partner sounds, wait for it, gay as hell.
Well, maybe if we're saying partner and it has all of these different connotations and meanings, maybe we should specify which meaning we're using it in by saying this is my business partner or this is my life partner.
Sure, but partner meant business partner up until the point that it didn't.
Well, before that, it just meant random stranger, like in the Wild West.
Yeah, but in my life... There was a moment in my life when I could walk into a room, I could introduce Ian as my partner, and people would know exactly what we're talking about. And
so now you have to say, this is my business partner.
Agreed. And I find it frustrating. The language has changed around me.
I want you to just go in there and say, this is my partner, and motion to Ian.
Yeah, but it's not going to. But then he's going to say business partner in order to correct me.
Yes, but it'll still be funny for that brief second where people are trying to process this.
When I introduce my wife, I say, this is my first wife. And she says, and only wife. We're still married.
Clever.
That's funny.
It is.
Yeah.
Calling Ian your partner is also funny. Yeah. I don't know how to tell you this.
Well, I don't know what. That's not the joke that I was going for whenever I was telling those things. Anyway, I would like disambiguations. Not ambiguations.
Well, then be specific and say, this is my business partner.
Then I haven't done anything to make your term for partner less gay.
No, I don't want you to. What I would rather you do is refer to your wife as your partner.
I don't want to.
I understand.
She's my wife.
You don't have to. You can call her whatever you want.
Yep.
So Francis noted he has stood up for civil unions before, but notably not marriage. So that was the point we were getting at. So what is your position on gay marriage now?
Okay, so what I would say today is as a libertarian, I don't think the government should be involved in marriage. And I will give you several reasons why. Because it costs $100 to get married and $4,000 to get divorced. And that's a cheap one. That a marriage is an agreement, a government marriage, is an agreement between you, your wife, and the state. And God, presumably. But God doesn't ever charge you money. The state, however, will tell you if you can get a divorce. Like, because really, you're going and asking for a divorce. You're not going to get it necessarily unless you fill out their paperwork properly. If you and your wife want to get an amiable divorce and not tell the government how much money you have and how it's going to be spent and all this, this, that, and the other, they're going to send you back to do your homework and fill out their little forms correctly. Whereas if you just get a, if you just have, you know, a marriage before God or a, you know, a freedom marriage or a marriage upgrade, I don't know what you call these things, then when you decide you're split and you're split the way you want to be split. So what I would say is
not necessarily,
is that
I mean, some of these can be really complicated and they may need to involve a mediator.
You sure you can. But that's your choice, and it's
fair.
You and I could get a mediator over any number of things.
Right.
We don't need to have a be dissolving a marriage to get a mediator. Mediators just help solve problems.
Sure. I was just making the point that you're not necessarily going to get your way in even ending a 100% non-governmental marriage.
Nope. That often, yeah, right. I mean, compromise often has both sides unhappy with the outcome. But that's that. So I would say that government shouldn't be involved. You should not involve the government in your marriage at all.
You shouldn't involve the government in your relationship at all, in any capacity whatsoever.
However.
But it's necessary because otherwise you're going to have problems with insurance. You're going to have problems getting into hospitals. You're going to have all – and these are all problems created by the state because these hospitals and insurance companies, they only recognize government-approved marriages.
If you're asking – if one asks my opinion on whether or not – gay people or lesbians or whomever should be able to contract to live together
and
love each other,
is.
And then to record that contract with the government for whatever reasons they want to record that contract with the government, I say absolutely they should be able to do that. And I don't think it should be limited to two people.
I agree. If your witch coven wants to have a lesbian marriage of 25 people, more power to you.
Now, I would
advise not involving the government, but if you want to,
right.
Go
if
ahead.
The government's going to offer these services, it should offer them, fairly and equally, in my opinion. I do think, however, that many times when people are looking to be married, they're looking for the bennies. And so if your insurance company doesn't want to offer services to, gay husbands or whatever, then I think they should be able to do that, too. And this is
I would agree. Find a better insurance company.
Yeah. It's all just about forcing people. And that's one of the things I don't like about all this.
Francis's remarks in the documentary go beyond what he has said previously and sharply diverge from the view of his predecessors. LGBTQ rights groups held the comments as a major step, but along with conservative religious groups, they raised questions about the context of the quotes delivered in a movie and how much weight the comments held. Before he became the Pope, the then Archbishop of Buenos Aires, opposed same-sex marriage legislation, but supported some level of legal protection for same-sex couples. So it seems like my feeling on this is right, and that the sticking point for him is the word marriage.
Yes.
And not the idea.
And that used to be one of my sticking points at one point, is that I like terms to mean things, and I would like to come up with new words to describe different things rather than using old words to describe the same thing, because I like disambiguations as opposed to ambiguations.
Sure, and I'm fine with using the word civil unions, but only if we're talking about heterosexual couples as well as homosexual couples. Only if we're applying that to everyone. I'm not going to allow straight people to have their own special word that they don't let anyone else use. That's my position on it.
Well, there used to be this old skit from, I think it was SNL, where they had this this androgynous character named Gene. And then at some point after they had wrung that particular rag out of all the laughs that you could get out of the androgynous character, people trying to figure out the pronouns of these sorts of things of Gene, then Gene had her, I don't even know, its androgynous looking partner who was named something else that was androgynous. And then now you're dealing with this couple who won't use terminology so that you can describe, like, I just don't like the frustrating aspect of trying to figure out all this stuff. Could people just tell me what's going on here? If you're talking in a gravelly voice, I'm going to presume you're talking about your husband, that then therefore you're the wife.
855-450-3733. It's free talk.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Koinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. Message Koinomi on Twitter. It takes 5 seconds. And tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now. And your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Koinomi now. Or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there. Thanks.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, the gayest show on air. 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria and totally heterosexual Marcus.
Yeah, how did I end up on the gayest show on air?
Well, we're talking about gay marriage, and it's being hosted by a trans person. You continue referring to Ian as your partner, so it seemed appropriate.
Yeah.
So obviously, we're not the gayest show on air. We're probably the most heretical, but probably not the gayest. I'm sure there are gayer shows out there.
Commercial radio, national commercial radio programs? Probably not. No, probably not.
Cool. So in 2003, we're talking about gay.
I mean, if you get extra gay points for being trans,
I think so. Yeah. And for being bisexual on top of that, or
whatever,
pansexual.
Whatever the
rather.
Heck you call yourself, yeah.
Well, speaking to the point about language, you know, that's...
I mean, I have to tear you down a couple of points just by sitting here being old, white, and heterosexual, though.
Fair point. Yeah, but you do keep calling Ian your partner. But, you know, back to your point previously.
He is my partner.
That's what I'm saying, Mark. It's the gayest show on air. We were discussing language, which is why we're talking about partnership now. And this is why I've since stopped doing it, because it was just kind of bad optics. But I've always referred to myself as a shemale, because it's clear, it's concise, and it's short and to the point. Everyone knows what that means as soon as I say it. If I tell somebody I'm a nut...
They can't say it, though, because it admits that they have watched porn.
What? Who hasn't watched porn?
I think many people have watched porn, but usually they get tricked into the shemale stuff.
I don't know how true that is.
Okay.
But saying I'm a non-op male to female transgender person, that's a lot of words to convey exactly the same meaning that is conveyed by saying shemale.
The part about your articles that irritates me the most, and believe me, there's plenty of irritation for me about the whole thing. Like, I'm just made uncomfortable about a lot of it. But these presumptuous a-holes that decide that your pronoun is they.
That bothers me as well. But it's my fault. Because they look on Twitter to see if I list my pronouns there, and of course I don't, because I don't care what people call me.
I noticed that they want that, so I put it on my LinkedIn. I put my pronouns on LinkedIn.
I'm not willing to do that.
Why not?
Because I don't care what they call me.
I do.
They can call me what they think fits
best
for me.
I'll call them whatever pronouns they want as soon as they use mine.
Intergalactic Space King or whatever?
His Majesty, Your Majesty, yes.
Well, is that what you put on LinkedIn?
Uh-huh. Because who cares? What am I going to do? Get a job off of LinkedIn? I mean, everybody else is running around trying to get a job on LinkedIn. I don't care.
I don't know why I assumed when you said you put your pronouns on LinkedIn that I assumed you put he, him.
No.
I don't, but those aren't.
I prefer his majesty or your majesty.
That's not a pronoun, though. Well, his.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, it's a title.
It's the way you refer to you. Look, if... She, when referring to the queen, she didn't go to the bathroom. Her majesty went to the loo.
Her majesty.
Right.
Her is the pronoun, though.
Mine is his majesty.
Majesty is the title.
It's how you refer. It's all one term.
No, it's an actual linguistic term, what a pronoun is.
It refers to her station as your king or queen.
Yes, their title.
It their station.
But you still don't say their majesty, and you wouldn't call the queen his majesty because...
I'm made uncomfortable by you questioning my pronouns.
Okay, fair. You do what you want, Mark. I don't know why I assumed you put he, him. But, you know, it's my fault these articles are referring to me as they because, you know, I'm not as passable as I would like to be. But I think it's pretty obvious. I'm doing everything that I can to be as feminine as possible.
I thought that was so at one point or another, I just sort of, I gave you a little grief about not passing as well as I would like. And then you asked me, what do you want me to do? And I don't have an answer. You have done everything, and this is the reason that I'm willing to use he, she, and her to describe you is because, A, you've asked me to, and you have proven...
Did I ever ask you to?
You're clear that that's what you want.
Okay,
how's that?
Fair.
And B, you're making the effort. Now, what I'm not willing to do is play all these games where people aren't willing to make the effort. You know, first off, I'm a hard no on using they. Just end of story. You're not going to get me to use a plural instead of a singular, and no. Okay?
Okay. I'm not opposed to it, but I understand why you are.
Now, maybe you can talk me into a Z and G and all these other weird pronouns that have been made up in order
Well, all pronouns are ultimately made up.
Agreed. Made up recently. And, you know, I see some of the arguments for them and these sorts of things. But if you want... You know, if you want me to use she pronouns, wear a skirt, wear a dress, you know, let me know that you're working on this whole womanhood thing. And then, fine. Now, if you've got a beer, if you're wearing an Aussie t-shirt, a beer belly, and it, you know, the belly's creeping out underneath the t-shirt and a pair of dirty jeans and some boots on, and you want me to call you she, well, no, I'm not making that effort.
Now, would you call a cis girl he for dressing that way and perhaps, like, I don't know, shaving her hair?
Cis girl
A non-trans girl. If you, I don't want to use the word because I think it's probably technically a slur, but, you know, a very brutish-looking lesbian.
Oh, the term butch.
Yeah, that wasn't the word that came to mind, but okay. That was the word I was looking for, yes. Not brutish,
okay.
Butch.
Okay, so it's a woman, what was previously a woman, now attempting to pass as a man, right?
Well, no, because that would be a trans man.
Okay, then help me out here. What are we talking about then?
Just a butch lesbian.
Well, only if she asked me to. A butch lesbian wouldn't want to be called he, would she?
But why do the preferences matter there, but not in regard to the trans person?
The trans person needs to be making the effort, is what I'm the point that I'm trying to make. That I've seen people not making the effort, who appear to be putting all the work on me, which is learning new pronouns. You know,
I agree. That's
if you
not
want
fair.
Me to put do the work of figuring out your pronouns, do the work of letting me know what your pronouns are.
I think that's a fair statement.
So, you know, I'm trying my best to fit into this new world that's a little weird for me.
Sure.
And I would prefer everybody just, you know, make it simple on me and they don't have to have all their weirdness going on and all that stuff. But obviously nobody's going to go by what I'm looking for. So I'm willing to make compromises where other people make compromises for me, especially people in my life that I care about. But other than that, you know, cut me some slack. I'm old and I don't care much.
It isn't the use of they, them that bothers me in some of these articles, other than the fact that, as Richard Stallman pointed out in his article on pronouns, it can get extremely confusing. This one article, I think it was the Daily Mail.
It's just unacceptable.
This one article from the Daily Mail, they used they, them to refer to me, to the Republican Party of Cheshire County, to Eli Rivera, and to Republican voters in the same paragraph. It is entirely unclear what they're trying to convey, and I know what they're trying to convey. But using they, them to in the same paragraph to refer to multiple different individuals and multiple different groups, it was the most confusing paragraph I've ever read.
Yeah, I've decided to start doing my best, my active best, to remove pronouns from my speech simply because they are ambiguous. They make it difficult to know what we're talking about. When there's two parties in a sentence and both of them are male and we're using the term he to describe them, I'm not entirely sure, you know, if he hit him, who hit whom? You know, like, I don't know. Why didn't we just say, Mark hit Ian?
That's one of the things that I learned as a fiction writer and a heavy fiction reader is that if, with good writers, you will find almost no usage of pronouns whatsoever. They always use the character's name because that's clear and that's not confusing or ambiguous.
Right.
But the thing that bothers me about some of these articles that ran about me are the ones that call me gender nonconforming. It's like, I'm doing my best here to conform to the idea of women as a gender. It's kind of insulting to refer to me as nonconforming. But hey, it's whatever. They're going to call me what they want. It's not worth it. I think this is the first time I've ever even mentioned it to anyone. It's not worth getting worked up about.
It's not. And you're born with the body you got. And I mean, you can only do the best you can. I would say the most important thing is maintain your health. And the rest is, inconsequential. But, you know.
Well, you did eat that heart attack burger earlier, mm-hmm. And here I am having yet another monster, second one of the day, actually. We're talking about gay marriage here, 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you in the studio, it's Aria and Mark. And you can join us. Well, Mark, I doubt you'll be there. Will you? Are you going to Pork Fest this year?
Yeah, I'll probably go to Pork Fest. Sure.
For the whole thing or just for like a day or two?
I like to show up, make my appearances and go.
His Majesty Intergalactic Space King.
Right. It's a big commitment to be there for 2 weeks.
It is. But you can join us, me full-time, Mark occasionally, and other voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June the 28th through July the 4th for Fork Fest 2021 at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. This is happening just after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but ForkFest is decentralized, so no one's in charge and there's no ticket cost. All you have to do is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June the 28th through July the 4th. It's going to be a blast. There will be fireworks on the 3rd, and you can find out if you want to plan an event for it. You can certainly do that. Be sure to let others know in advance. You can connect with other ForkFesters via the unofficial Telegram chat or the ForkFest forum. Links to those are on the unofficial website, forkfest.party. Mark your calendar now, June the 28th through July the 4th. We'll see you there, forkfest.party. Let's go to the phones. We've got David calling from New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind?
Oh, you interrupt the conversation. I was talking to Alex. We had a really good conversation going, then all of a sudden, boom, there you are interrupting. But anyway,
I'm sorry. I thought the screening was done.
The what? No. Well, the screening was done, but Alex and I, we were having a conversation.
What's on your mind, Dave?
But nothing. I never have anything on my mind. I just called to annoy people so that you can call the New Mexico State Police and cite, 30-20-12 and have me arrested because I need a fifth charge, please.
So how did you get four charges for calling a radio show? I mean, I thought it was just one.
Because humans are idiots. Haven't you figured that out yet, that humans are idiots?
Yeah, there's nothing to do we can do about that.
Yeah, the direct answer to your question is the first one that I got like 4 years ago was back in 2016. We're in 2020 now, right?
Yeah.
So the first one was because the KUNM, the gayest radio station. Oh, wait, I forgot. That's you guys. But the second gayest radio program on the radio at KUNM, Let's Talk New Mexico, they have a call-in program just like yours. And I called in, and I wanted to talk about how the state of New Mexico had trafficked my children, which is everybody is sick of, including me. But they didn't want to talk about that because I happen to have names of people that were in the Democrat Party that had trafficked my children, and I didn't even bring those up, but they knew that I had it, and they didn't want to deal with that subject matter, like nobody really does until their own children get disappeared.
Yeah.
So they told me not to call back. They told me not to call back, and I said, you're a public radio station owned by me, the taxpayer of the state of New Mexico. You are the University of New Mexico radio station. I will call back. So I called back. They called the cop. The cop, who is a tranny, wrote me up on charges. The lesbian called the tranny cop, and the tranny cop wrote me up on charges. So that was the initial charge. Then fast forward to a year later, we're in court. They make up an agreement to make it go away. And I'm like, okay, fine. I don't need to fight you. If you want to just let it go, and I don't have to do anything special, just not continue to not do what I'm already not doing, which is not calling them, then fine. And so I didn't call them, but I called another radio program on the station. And they interpreted the order incorrectly to mean that I couldn't call the radio station at all. And that's not what the order says. It says it very clearly. It only lists the radio program in particular.
Let's but they have Mexico, their own police force, so they're able to do what they want.
Right. They have their own police force, the University of New Mexico Police Force, and there's all kinds of fun stuff you can Google on those guys. And so they
hold on,
do they have any
authority outside of the campus?
Well, apparently, yeah. Apparently, they have whatever charter with the state that they're a law enforcement agency. And if the crime happened on their campus, it's their jurisdiction. So if you call and annoy one of their people on the telephone, then they can write you up on a 30-20-12 for annoying them on the telephone, like I'm doing right now. And so when I called the radio station that was not covered, I'm sorry, the radio program that was not covered in the agreement that I've been calling every Sunday for years, the management at KUNM instructed the people on the radio program I was calling to write down whenever David Olson calls in, write it down, okay? And then give us the note. We want to know when David Olson calls your program. And we're not going to tell him not to call the program. We're just going to call the UNM PD and have them write him up for calling the program that he's allowed to call, okay? And so the people on the radio, the radio program that I'm okay to call, they gave them the notes and then they gave that to the police and the police wrote me up on every time that I called the radio station or the radio program that I was okay to call, they wrote me up on a new charge. So I got four of them all together.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the penalty of these charges? What are you facing here?
I'm going to prison for 3 years.
Have you been
annoying
found?
I mean, annoying. Huh? What?
Have you been found guilty?
No. No, he's not going to be found guilty
anyway.
Either. So David is good enough at pro se that he is going to make these people look silly. They really should drop the charges before he ever gets there. Like, just drag him as long as they can. Go ahead.
They're already trying to. No, they cannot drop the charges. If they try to drop the charges, I will fight that motion to dismiss. If anybody motions to dismiss until I'm ready for it to go away, I will fight them. No, you are going to, because if they dismiss it, then the facts are never brought into the courtroom and put on the record, because I got all kinds of facts on them that they don't want on the record in a court. And those facts are coming in to this court, the Metro Court in Albuquerque, New Mexico. New Mexico's not listening tonight, so never mind. But no, they can't dismiss it. I won't allow it. They have to fight.
Well, I'm glad to know, at the very least, David, that you're not going to be going to prison for the next 3 years.
I also like it when people won't just roll over for the man, and David certainly won't.
David, thank you so much for the call. Very animated tonight.
Yeah, he's.
But it's a tense situation.
He gets frustrated. There's no doubt.
Well, I mean, trans-gay Nazi cops will frustrate a person. there's no doubt about that.
I'm glad I don't have to deal with that particular problem.
But speaking of gay people, the Pope Benedict the 16th, I don't know who that is. I guess it was in 2003,
yeah,
taught that, quote, respect for homosexual persons cannot lead in any way to approval of homosexual behavior or to legal recognition of homosexual unions, placing them on the same level of marriage, same level as marriage, he added, would mean approval of, quote, deviant behavior. No surprise there. I mean, he was the Pope.
Right.
But we have a Pope now who's saying, hey, civil unions need to be protected by the police or
I wonder
the
to
state.
Myself, so there's lots of different types of Catholics out there. There's as many different types of Catholics as there are different types of Protestants. It is a big, big church. And I wonder what they say to themselves, the conservative Catholics out there, say to themselves when they have to deal with the Pope saying things like this. So this new Pope has caused some problems for conservative Catholics.
Sure.
And I'm not sure. Does he have the pipeline to God? Because that's what I was told as a Protestant up to this point, that the Pope's super special.
That's what I was told about popes as well, but that's also from a Protestant background, so I don't know. Are you Catholic? What are you conservative Catholic specifically? Give us a call. Let us know. Does this bother you? What do you do about this when the person who's equivalent to God says something that you don't think is right? 855-450-3733. 855-450-FREE.
Bear, the rescue dog, had very flaky skin, dropping a lot of fur, and the vet wanted to do steroid injections. I was at a dead end.
DINOVITE.com.
Probably 6 weeks after we started using Dynavite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch. It was awesome.
You get some Dynavite, how happy your dog will be.
Every rescue dog in America deserves Dynavite for 90 days.
DINOVITE.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. The only show where you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. 855-450-3733. 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. With you tonight, it's Aria.
And Mark.
And keeping up with the gay themes of the last hour of this episode, coming to us from RT.com, gay penguins have stolen an entire nest of eggs from a lesbian pair of penguins at a zoo in the Netherlands. Now, this isn't...
I figure it was a European zoo.
Why?
Gay or European?
A gay male... Well, in this case, they're gay and European. A gay male penguin couple in a Netherlands zoo have brazenly stolen the eggs belonging to a lesbian penguin couple in their desperate bid for parenthood. I love everything. Just the concept of gay and lesbian penguins is just... It's just amusing.
I've heard about a lot of gay penguins.
Yes, it's not uncommon.
It's not terribly uncommon. And I don't know what gay means for penguins. I mean, if they just like each other, I'm not sure. They hang out.
Well, penguins mate for life, don't they?
I think that terminology is overused in the avian community.
Okay. I don't give it that much thought.
Yeah.
The gay couple, which was previously caught nest lifting a single egg last year, made away with the whole nest this time around. It turns out to be a very determined couple. Zookeeper Sander Drost said the two hopeful fathers-to-be are now taking shifts, sitting on the eggs to keep them warm and foraging for food.
It sounds like they stole the wrong eggs, though.
Why?
They stole them from lesbian penguins.
Well... Yeah, unfortunately.
I don't know how penguin sex works, but I have an idea about how other animal sex works. And
sure.
And lesbians don't tend to have babies on their own.
Yes. Unfortunately, the eggs are unlikely to hatch, as they may not.
They probably
have been...
didn't go to a sperm bank and get some penguin sperm and, you know, fertilize their eggs.
Well, they were laid by a lesbian couple, so they were probably not fertilized.
Yeah. So. These gay penguins are wasting their time.
Indeed, the duo's egg heist last year ultimately failed as it did not produce a chick. Homosexuality is fairly common in penguins, but what makes this couple remarkable is that they have gotten hold of an egg, said another zookeeper. The gay penguins appear to be quite the power couple at their 17-penguin-strong enclosure. Okay, so that's interesting. I assumed these people were in separate – these penguins, I can't believe I called them people – were in separate exhibits, and that was why they were, you know, tended toward homosexuality and lesbianism at the first place, because that's – based on what I'm about to read, it wouldn't be surprising for that. According to Drost, every other bird couple has one shelter, while the nest hijackers have commandeered two.
Shelters?
Yeah, evidently. Okay. Penguins do appear to be quite open-minded when it comes to, quote, traditional gender roles and changing things up. In September 2019, a London aquarium decided to take the species, quote, wokeness to another level by having a lesbian couple adopt and raise the world's first genderless chick.
Why is it a genderless chick?
I don't know, and they don't specify, and there's no link to the other story. So that's pretty much it. It's just gay penguins stealing eggs, unfertilized eggs, and then laying on them. I mean, it's cute.
This kind of, just after the Pope story suggesting that gay marriage be come church doctrine or whatever the Pope is suggesting there, it's kind of interesting because this addresses the it's not natural
argument. Right, that's why I went into it, for sure.
And You know, I mean...
But that's stupid in the first place, because humans are part of nature. Anything humans do, by definition, is therefore natural.
Sure. Skyscrapers would be natural by that standard.
Because we are part of nature.
Right. And most animals don't mate for pleasure. At least most female animals don't mate for pleasure. They're not doing it recreationally. Whereas apes, especially the bonobos, they're little perverts. And they use sex for a variety of things, and heterosexual, homosexual sex, I'm talking about bonobos here, for a variety of sort of social functions and these sorts of things. And whatever, I guess, is that unnatural that they're doing it? That particular argument isn't valid for me. There's all kinds of reasons. Like, if you want to make arguments against homosexuality, I'm sure I could do it. I'm pretty good at making arguments, but it wouldn't be because it's not natural. And on a planet with 8 billion people, who cares if it's natural?
I think it's 7 billion.
Okay.
It may be 8 billion by now, though.
It's working on it.
But yeah, I never understood the argument that it wasn't natural, even from within their worldview, because, as I've pointed out, humans are nature. We are part of nature. Therefore, anything we do is, by definition, natural, including, as you pointed out, building skyscrapers. So coming to us from the Hill, that was pretty much the extent of that. And Mark, you pretty much picked up on the entire reason I wanted to cover that in the first place.
I think that's generally the reason the penguin stories have been trotted out over time. But to me, it's never really mattered as far as the naturalness or unnaturalness. It would seem like the only people you should really care if they're gay or not. I mean, like, oh my goodness, there's gay people in the world leaving more women for us heterosexual guys? Shocking. Who cares?
Well, there are also more lesbians in the world, which in turn reduces the number of women available.
I don't feel the competition. Whatever.
Okay. I'm just saying there are probably equal numbers or roughly equal numbers of gay men as there are lesbians. So it probably balances itself out.
I don't know.
Would you speculate one is more common than the other?
Yeah, I would.
I would speculate that more women are openly bisexual than are men. But that's because men have a really big hang up about this, to the extent that they will take part in gay activities and call them things like bro jobs and stuff.
Well, I don't know about anything like that. But what I would say is that what we have seen, I can't remember the Kinsey scale, right? So this is your one sexuality is rated on a scale of, I believe, 0 to 7. Don't ask me why it's not 1 to 8 or 1 to 10.
I think we all did that here on Free Talk Live, didn't we?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think we did.
Because
it sounds familiar. And I was like right in the middle where one would expect me to be.
Right. So men
tend to
cluster around either end of the Kinsey scale, whereas women have a much flatter sort of, clusters. So for women, it's much more about relationships, whereas for men, it's, and it makes sense from a social standpoint. Look, if the social pressure has made you heterosexual for X number of years, the likelihood that you're going to change that isn't strong. I'm strongly heterosexual, but Lord knows why. I mean, in a Greek society, in ancient Athens, things were entirely different. You went from what is known in the nomenclature as a catcher to a heterosexual husband, to a pitcher, all in the same lifetime, and in that order.
The nomenclature now is top and bottom.
Okay.
Not pitcher and catcher.
Fine.
It did used to be pitcher and catcher, though, as recently as, a decade, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, so things change, and I mean, that's the result of the Christian Puritanism.
7.5 billion people.
And the takeover of everyone's minds by the Catholic Church. That's why we got to this place. That's why the Greek system and their sexual openness
societies
largely died out.
Of a whole varieties of societies that don't have Christianity involved in them dislike homosexuality.
I'm talking about Western society, though.
I understand.
Was heavily permeated and corrupted by
Christianity. What I'm telling you is just that culture is culture. And some cultures are going to be anti-homosexual and some are going to be pro. And that's just how that is. And I wouldn't lay it at the door of any particular religion necessarily. Yes, we can say that, Christianity by and large in the world is pretty anti-homosexuality. And it has a lot to do with the translations that have been kicked out. But, whatever.
But if the Greek mythology had taken hold and permeated the United States and gotten everyone to be, you know, worshippers of Zeus, we wouldn't have had this 300-year history of witch trials and sodomy being illegal and gays not being allowed to marry or being allowed to adopt, because those are direct actions that were caused by the Puritanism in the United States that was brought here by Christianity.
So cultures had a good reason to shun homosexuality for a long time. It's only this, the 20th century, that we got our first, I believe it was the late 19th century, we got the first billion. And so we didn't have enough people in America for a long time, so it made a sense to shun homosexuality.
Not sure I agree. What do you think? 855-450-3733. It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. If you're quick, you can still get on the air with us. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria and Mark. And I want to say thank you to David R. Jeffries, who is tonight's amplifier. This means he's a member of the AMP program. You can find out more about it at amp.freetalklive.com. But it's money that we use strictly to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live. Basically, it helps us get on more radio stations. So if you like that idea, you might consider joining the AMP program. We only ask $5 per month to be a member. David R. Jeffries is, of course, a gold member, which means he chooses to give $10 per month to the AMP program, and we appreciate that enormously. Thanks for the help. It comes with a number of cool little features like an AMP-only Facebook group, an AMP-only chat on the Matrix server, and other cool little things like that. Check it out, amp.freetalklive.com. David, thank you so much. We hope you continue amplifying the show. And Mark, you're keeping us going with the gay news.
Yep.
Because we're the gayest show on the air tonight.
Well, I suppose that's the case. Hillsborough County Sheriff's has publicized a sex sting. Now, I don't know what a sting is exactly, but we'll figure that out.
A sting that is related to sex, because it sounds very much like sexting.
Yeah.
Which is the act of texting sexual things back and forth. So we're talking about a sting regarding sex.
And the question is, did it target gay men? The men accused of agreeing to have sex in a park with other men who are actually undercover deputies. Experts and advocates say it recalls an era of anti-gay policing. So I would ask, if they do a prostitution sting, does it target Johns?
Counter question. Did they have any female deputies reaching out to men to try to get them to have sex in the park?
Because that does
make a difference.
Yeah.
If they didn't do that, it is targeting gay men.
I'm sure that you wouldn't have any trouble finding female guys that would be willing to have sex with women off in the sawgrass and pine forest.
Right.
Sure. Hillsborough Sheriff Chad Cronister announced that the September arrests of 11 men with a series of sound bites delivered via YouTube. These vile acts by these men took place in a park, the same place where our children play. Probably not at the same time that your children play there. Who's running for re-election?
They're having sex in public, but that's not necessarily immoral. You just don't want it to happen, presumably. And you definitely don't want it to happen in front of your children, which is fine.
We definitely don't want that happening in front of children. Why don't they just find a room?
I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something about doing it in public. I would imagine that's the case. I don't know. It's not my thing. I have to reiterate the point here that, you know, they arrested 11 men, all of whom were presumably gay, because they were using men to lure people out there. So it's not a matter of who's having sex in the park. It's a matter of, okay, well,
probably a matter of who's having sex in the park, right? Like, there's probably not a lot of straight people having sex in the park, and
possibly
certainly not coming there to find trysts. Whereas, this is definitely a thing in the gay community is having a particular place. Psst, it's at the park, or it's at the rest stop, or wherever.
Yes, these definitely exist.
And so, what they're trying to do is clear out the problem as opposed to luring people in.
If they were trying to clear out the problem, luring people in was a poor way of doing that, because that's what they did. They had deputies.
What else would they do?
They would patrol the
park.
Put
in sprinklers?
Sure.
motion detecting sprinkler systems. That
would be an excellent way of solving this without committing aggression against people. Motion detecting sprinklers. That's a brilliant idea, Mark. That's why I'm going to make you a deputy.
We spray down the dogs whenever they get stuck together. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that this is very tacky behavior. I
would agree.
Also realize that this is the sort of thing that sheriffs do at re-election time in certain zip codes.
Sure. Not 03431, at the very least.
Not this particular zip code, no. Thank goodness I've never heard about this here, but I definitely heard about it in Florida.
I've gotten offers from people wanting me to do that, and I've always
doing what?
Declined.
Meeting in a park to do stuff.
Sex, yes. And I've always declined because that's stupid. One, I have a bed. Two, you should have a bed. Three, if you don't have a bed, I don't want to sleep with you.
Is it the wouldn't part of it be basically presumably if you're looking for a lot of sex partners, perhaps you're not vetting them as thoroughly as you should. Somebody may be coming to your house with the intention of casing it out to see whether or not you have things that they might burglarize later. Maybe this is what they're trying to avoid.
I guess.
I mean,
but they could also just like leave a gun laying out. That will prevent
someone
from returning.
Guns are the most stolen thing out there in burglaries.
Really? Well, not if they know how to use them.
That's if you're there.
Ah, that's a good point.
Yeah, the gun doesn't do anything if you're not there.
Well, in that case, you have your security camera and you investigate the matter and you get it accomplished. But that is a valid point. You know, maybe they're not vetting these people as much as they should be. And there's no way, really, with one of these apps like Grindr or Tinder to really know to do a background check or anything like that. All you can do is casual conversation.
Yeah. People like me would say, you know, you don't just hook up with people you don't really know. But
People like me would say otherwise.
Sure. I get that. That might be something that you do. Have you not? I guess you've not had your place burglarized. You've not had a very negative experience regarding meeting up with random folks on the Internet.
Oh, I absolutely have.
Can you tell me
has been burglarized, but that was totally unrelated to.
Unrelated. OK.
But people were stealing my signs.
You're certain that it was unrelated? Yeah, stealing of your signs.
Yeah, I'm 100%
signs.
Certain that it was unrelated.
But I'm talking about because of your trysts. You do these things.
I've never been robbed because of them.
I said negative experiences.
Negative experiences, yes. I've had people over and after like 12 seconds of looking at them and talking to them, I'm like, no, you're going to have to go. This isn't happening because they set off some red flag monitor, you know, mm-hmm. some sense I have that, hey, this person... This is a heroin addict. I don't want them in my house.
Yeah, that's the conversation that I wouldn't want to have. Like, the reason I, you know, wouldn't even participate in this sort of behavior toward IU is I wouldn't even want to have that conversation of get out, you know?
Well, you can have it in polite ways. Just like, hey, you know what, man, I'm really not feeling this. I need you to go. And if they don't go, then they're at risk of bodily harm. So usually they prefer to go.
Yeah. I mean,
I've never had anyone say they wouldn't.
So how many people have you kicked out of your house over these sorts of situations?
Fewer than a dozen, but more than a few.
More than a half a dozen, fewer than a dozen?
I don't know if it was as many as half a dozen. It's not like I keep track of this. I don't write down, okay, well, this was a failed attempt.
Well, what criteria do you use to allow them to come in the first place?
Well, they have to be capable of making complete sentences. They can't just be like, hey... And start sending me lewd photographs.
LOL, yeah.
Yeah, well, lewd photographs are far more common.
Yeah.
The bar is much lower with women than it is with men.
Meaning?
There are thousands of men who are messaging me.
Yes.
Substantially fewer women with whom I'm messaging. So the bar is lower with women, and plus I prefer
are the men
women.
Messaging you heterosexual or homosexual?
I think by definition... That's not a fun question to ask someone this late in the show, Mark.
Well, I'm asking. I mean, you got 2 minutes.
Is it homosexual to have sex with a trans woman? The politically correct answer is no. My answer is, well, it's at least a little gay. Gay is a spectrum. You know,
it is
at least not heterosexual to have sex with a trans woman.
Okay.
That's my position.
All right.
People on the left don't like that answer, though.
All right.
They argue that, you know, a heterosexual man can perform fellatio on a trans woman and that there's nothing gay about it whatsoever. I disagree.
All right. I can see your point. So by what criteria are they allowed to come to the house? I mean,
it's not like I have a checklist of
I've never used any of these apps. I know nothing about this world.
What criteria do you have for a girl to get a second date?
I have been married for 15 years, so my criteria is a little rusty. To get a second date, a first date, presuming a first date occurred, then I would know, you know, quite a bit about her, and it would be based largely on her looks, right?
Okay.
I mean, you know, there's...
Yeah, I mean, sure.
I've never seen a beautiful woman that was so stupid or annoying that I wasn't willing to have sex with her once.
Okay.
Now, perhaps I wouldn't lock into a ongoing relationship with her. However, I might be, you know, if I'm in for, you know, if I've taken her on one date, then in for a penny, in for a pound. Let's see where we can go with this.
That's largely my criteria for inviting them over. I would consider it to be a second date level of criteria. And the first date, as the word happens, via texting.
It's virtual. So you see pictures,
yes,
and you said attractive enough and smart enough.
Generally. This has been Free Talk Live in a particularly gay episode. Head on over to Free.
On a multidimensional probe, the SysGov Transtemporal Vehicle Clio discovers two entire universes have been annihilated in a massive time-traveling accident. Robert Kaminsky and his crew race home with the news, only to learn their own universe is next. To pull off the impossible, they'll have to embrace the unpalatable by placing their trust in the admin, SysGov's xenophobic sister universe, and the same people who tried to kill them all only months before. The Valkyrie Protocol by David Weber and Jacob Hollow. Available October 6th, wherever books are sold. Visit BaneBooks at Bane.com for more.
Attention, gardeners. If you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.